from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Sports, man.
Now, back to Stani and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Toronto Raptors all-star guard Scottie Barnes intends to sign a 5-year max rookie extension. Could be worth $270 million. You'd rather have Scottie Barnes or Kuminga?
Scottie Barnes.
Okay. That's the other thing. I mean, here's the other issue the Warriors... Well, not an issue, but what do you do with Kuminga? Do you really want to pay him $140 million over the next 4 years and sign on the dotted line this offseason? You're answering the question with your silence. It's a tough one.
It is.
I know.
Because you don't know.
I know.
Much about, like, that might be also another reason that the Warriors want to try and clear some space or, you know, some roster room is because they need to figure out if they want to pay Jonathan Kuminga. Also, if they want to keep Moses Moody around. I mean, I think if they are trying to upgrade, if they do want a large-scale player this summer, then I think they'd be okay with just trading Kuminga and having someone else make the decision for them.
Well, that's something that I'm trying to put two and two together. And I know it's not easy in this situation, but if you're telling me that the Warriors haven't offered Klay a deal and they're thinking about picking up Chris Paul's option for next year, believe it or not, that tells me Kuminga is very much on the table. Do you make that connection at all?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No. I mean,
why would the Warriors keep Chris Paul right now instead of, like, beat it? We got to start dealing with a cap.
Because you keep the salary slot.
Correct.
Like that, but you could still trade him later. I mean, you don't have to trade him this summer. It could be the deadline. It could be some other. I think if they keep Chris Paul around, it's because they're going to trade him. That's why I don't think that they will guarantee the contract on Friday. I think they're going to agree to move it to sometime in July, because then that gives them more time to survey the trade market. It gives them more time to figure out, for example, like if Paul George opts out and decides to become a free agent, then he's off the table. But if he opts in, or maybe he opts, you know, to try and put together a sign and trade with the Clippers, then he's on the table. So I just think the Warriors are keeping their options open, which is, again, if why I'm Klay Thompson, the first offer that I get, I might be inclined just to take. Because Why should Klay Thompson have to wait around while the Warriors twiddle their thumbs and figure out who else they can go and acquire? Unless, of course, they're selling that to Klay. Like, hey, Klay, we can't give you this money, but we want to bring you back. We want to have a competitive team. You're a part of that. And here's the starting five that you'll be a part of. Here's the top six in the rotation that you'll be a part of. Hypothetically, you know, we can envision yourself alongside Steph and Paul George and Draymond. We're also going to go and try and maybe move Wiggins for a center. And then this is our new starting five that you're going to be a part of. You just got to wait. Like, maybe there's a slight chance that there's a conversation there. But I also think that
then what? Yeah, then what? Then all the money in the other teams is gone, and now the Warriors have all the leverage, even if they get all those things done. You know what I mean? Then what? Do they come back to Klay and say, I mean, I will give you 30?
No, I think the... Well, no, I don't think Klay's getting 30 from anybody.
I wonder. I still don't... I don't know. I mean, boy, I don't... What would you set the number at?
Klay Thompson?
Yeah. 25?
I think it's at like 20.
See, I would still take the over on that. But just it's just a hunch.
The Monk deal is interesting too, because I also think that one of the reasons he signed is because, like, if Malik Monk, who's in the midst of his prime, can't court a long-term deal, a long-term lucrative deal with another team, then I don't think there's a team out there that's going to be willing to give Klay, for example, the third year that it sounds like he's looking for. Like, I mean, maybe he could find a 2 for 50 or 2 for 60. But at this point in his career, he probably wants something a little bit longer because it's, in all probability, his last bag.
Let's go to Joy. Joy is in Texas. Hey, Joy, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you all for having me on. I appreciate it. Big fan of the show. I've been listening to all the discussions on all day on your radio show and everywhere else, and there's one premise that everyone is ignoring and not looking at.
Give it to me.
The premise is they don't want him back. He has worn out his welcome. He got maxed when he got injured, and then they saved his starting spot for 2.5 years. They were 30-9 when he came back. They were elite. Handed him that starting spot immediately. He's been upset with them ever since. Imagine the body language we see from the couch. Imagine being in the locker room with that dude. Imagine coaching him. And we already know he had to be sat down multiple times this season. He's supposed to be a veteran, right? He's seen veterans go to the bench and have integrity about it. He has had horrible body language. He's blaming fans. He's ripping on, you know, the media. They don't want him back at all. I guarantee it. And no one wants to even imagine this premise to be true. Look at the unfollowing them. They don't have an offer on the table. I mean, just look at it. You have to be objective about these things. I'm a fan of the front of the jersey, not the back. God bless you, Klay. You are amazing. But your attitude over the last 2.5 years erased it for me. I am so upset with this man for being so immature. And I'm telling y'all, they don't want him back. He wore out his welcome. I would not be surprised, and this sounds crazy, I would not be surprised if they renounce him if he takes too long to make his decision. Because the minute that he comes off the books, they are a healthy organization. That salary structure is great. They have all these assets to make trades.
I disagree, but that's all right.
It's close. It's close.
All right.
It's close.
Hey, Joy, good call. Great call. And I want to, hopefully he's listening after he hangs up. Because he's right. Nobody has said what he just said. But I have kind of indicated I am not convinced they want him back. Like, I think they're playing a game. I do agree with Joy in that they're trying to say something publicly that they really don't believe. Like, I kind of agree that they don't want him back, if for no other reason than they know the conditions or the money that he's going to be back for is going to hurt.
Well, I don't know if we can completely say they don't want him back. Well, I just think they want him back at their price. And that's generally not the way that you know, franchise legends are dealt with.
Right.
But to be fair, there's never been, you know, a group of three that have stuck around this long together that have commanded the amount of money that Curry, Clay, and Draymond have. So there's never really been a situation where you've had to expend all financial options to keep a band together, especially when they haven't made the playoffs. So, you know, I do think the Warriors want him back. I just don't think he's that big of a priority to come back.
Right. Not to the Warriors. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is from the Xfinity Mobile text line. Wouldn't Steph have had to sign off on the front office's approach to how they're handling Clay? Wouldn't Clay be even more upset about this? I think the Xfinity Mobile text line meaning that maybe Clay knows Steph doesn't want him back. I
also don't believe that.
Well,
he might not. He might be indifferent, but I don't think he's sitting there saying, "Clay, I'm done playing alongside you."
And here's what I don't believe. And this is where I think a lot of people are going to part ways with me. And I get it. We don't have to put it all in black and white. But we talk about how we're going to get this team back into contention as fast as possible. Why? Because of Steph. We talk about making drastic moves where you mortgage some of the future. We got to maximize Steph. Can I ask an honest question? You tend to be, when I do that, a little snide. Goo actually answers me honestly. You tend to be a little snide.
What do you mean?
Is there any fear? And is anybody put into the equation that Steph Curry may become or start to become or is in the process of becoming the player he was in the second half of the season? Because if Steph Curry is that player, you can't make it all about him. Like, that's, I'm parting, like, if, so one part of me that gets to me is, because situations change, Draymond gets to get $100 million last year because you thought something unrealistic might happen, and now, what do you give? Clay gets hosed because they proved last year they weren't a championship team with Draymond Green?
Wait, what?
So, last year,
yeah,
they come off a 44-win season.
Yes.
Dre gets his money.
Yes.
Why?
Because they made the second round.
Okay, because they still thought they were in their window, championship window, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they at that same place this year?
No.
And that, you could make a case, take all the personality out of it, personality out of it. That's why Clay's really getting hosed, is because they're not at the same spot this year as last year, right?
And he's the odd man out. For example, if Andrew Wiggins was a free agent, I think we'd be talking about the same thing, but no one would care because it's Andrew Wiggins. Like, if the roles were reversed and they had paid Clay $400 million for $100 million last offseason and Draymond was a free agent this offseason, they might have also dealt with it the same way. Like, it sucks because it's Clay Thompson. But because of the timing of it, he's the one that's due. Like, he's the guy that we're talking about. You know, you know what I mean? I mean,
no, I do.
If he was under contract, I think we'd also be well, how could you have 3 years left of Klay Thompson? You know, he's only shooting 38%. He's below his average for his career. Like, it sucks that he's the one, but that's also because of the rest of the contracts that they've handed out.
Correct. I couldn't agree with you more. SG in California. What's up, SG? How you doing, man?
Hello. How are you guys doing? I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, glad thanks.
To be able to talk to you guys.
Sure.
But I have a quick question that I want to throw at you guys. I've been hearing today all you guys talk about Clay and stuff, but I want to know this. I've heard pods being thrown around to see if he's going to start, but we've clearly seen last year that the problem with starting pods, F. Draymond, is there's no spacing. That's why Clay came back to the starting lineup. Because in the games that Pod started, yeah, they had better offense in some possessions, but clearly Pod isn't being respected as a full three-point shooter. Teams were willing to give him threes because they know he couldn't make it at a volume that Clay could make it at. But second of all, unless the Warriors are willing to give up their youth in Kuminga, I don't see a pathway where they could even get Paul George. So if people could say, oh, we could leave Clay and somehow get Paul George or start Paul and Paul has a better future, I just don't see that right now because the Warriors are on one hand saying they don't want to give up their youth to trade someone like Kuminga. And second of all, I haven't seen anything from Paul to show that he's like a full-time respected starter, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you there, SG. If you're right, and I don't know that you're not, if the Warriors are kind of right now saying, you know what, it's probably going to be Steph and Pods in the backcourt.
Or Steph and Moody. I mean, probably one of those two.
See, this is one of those things I can argue both ways, because I believe what I'm going to say is I believe Clay could walk day one of free agency, and you say, we are going into this season with Moody and Pajemski fighting for the two spot. Like, I will not say, oh, you're worse then. I allow for that combination to be better than Klay Thompson. It's very possible. But if you're telling me that Pods is starting with Curry, are we like, how good can that team, how good is that? I like Pods' rookie year too, but Pods and Curry in the backcourt, and Trayce Jackson-Davis is still around. Draymond's still around.
So you're saying they're not going to be better? Like, you don't allow for the possibility of them
to
get better?
Well, let me ask you this. If they do no moves in the offseason except Clay walks,
they're in trouble. I think they will be worse than last year.
They could be. They might not be. Like, that's...
How would they be better, though?
Because
I'm not saying the solution is just to sign Clay blindly and run it back, but I just don't see how. Like, one of the reasons why I think Curry was the player he was after the All-Star break, and I know you're giddy to share these numbers, is because there was nobody else to help him. Like, yeah, I do think one of the reasons he had to do more and was because the whole season was on his shoulders. I mean, I think that's why they're trying to see if they can swing a trade for a player that has legitimate stardom is as much about improving the team as it is about making sure that Curry does not have to go through at an even older age the amount of work that he had last season.
Because
he clearly wore down.
If you're telling me that, here's I kind of look at it the other way. If I don't necessarily think, okay, if you think Clay walks and now the two-guard position is going to be Moody/Pajemski, and you say, well, they're worse, like you just did, right? Well, then you got to resign Clay, right?
Not if you have something else that you can pull off.
Like for a big boy.
Yeah.
Or a Paul George or somebody like that.
Or a few other serviceable players.
See,
if there's a way you can acquire a starting caliber center, there's a way that you can transform Andrew Wiggins into a better small forward. I mean, I think there are ways to get better without bringing back Klay Thompson, yes.
Yeah, I think there are too.
I think the Warriors are telling us there are ways to get better without bringing back Klay Thompson because they haven't put a contract offer on the table for him. They haven't. It doesn't sound like they've had a single phone call. Talks have frozen between the Warriors and Klay Thompson. That doesn't sound like somebody that they're prioritizing. Which also, if the Warriors thought that they could get better next year by just re-signing Klay Thompson, that report to me doesn't come out. Like, we don't hear that talks have frozen. We would hear that talks have advanced. That the Warriors are trying to maybe get Klay at this number. Or Klay Thompson's holding out for this. Now, there would be more details to me of those conversations as opposed to Klay and Warriors just haven't spoken at all. Like, if they really thought that he was that much of a game changer.
Right. I'm with you.
We'd hear something.
Like, if this were 5 years ago or before his injury, he'd be getting the max right now.
Well, I mean, even if it's not the max, like we would just hear that, okay, so, you know, the Warriors want him at 2 years. Klay Thompson wants a third year. You know, maybe it's a player option hang up. Like there, you know, there would be something on the table. Even if it's, well, the Warriors are still willing to put Klay Thompson pen to paper for 2 years at $48 million. You know, the same offers on the table as it was last offseason, Klay. It sounds like the Warriors have rescinded that offer.
Or haven't made a call one way or the other to reoffer it.
Well, as I'm saying, like, I don't think they want Klay Thompson at $24 million anymore.
That I don't know. Maybe they have put the same contract in front of him, and he said, "What do you think, I'm dumb? I didn't sign this last year." But and I don't want to make this about Steph Curry, but there, part of me, and I guess I'm in the minority here, but I don't know. I think there's a minority that doesn't voice this like I do because they're not on the radio. But just this whole idea that the problem is when I say this, people think I'm minimizing Steph. I'm not minimizing Steph Curry. But this notion that, I don't know, it just feels like this notion that everything you do is because of one player and we got to do it for 1 year, meaning, or two. It's hard to rebuild or to change drastically in a year or two and think you can turn something around. And I'll say it again.
What about Dallas?
What do you mean?
I mean, Dallas missed the playoffs last year. They were just in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
That's a one-year turnaround.
Well, they also have two players who are better than anybody on the Warriors.
Yeah, but this
and
time
in their
last
prime. But let's like come
this
on.
Time last summer, people thought Kyrie Irving, that was a terrible trade.
But Kyrie Irving is not going to age 10 years in 1 year. Like that's what I'm saying. Are you really 37? Curry's going to be 37. You're going to have two 35-year-olds. Like I don't know, man. And I get it. Well, what else are you going to do? But what I'm not going to do is look 2 or 3 years down the line. To hope next year is going to get better.
Well, then how can you? Okay, so if there's a chance in your world that that Curry is the same player that he was for the last couple months in the season.
Yeah, let's just.
Then how can you not try to go get him help? Like, what? Why do you think?
Because
he was,
then it's beyond hope. In a way.
Why do you think he was that player?
Because he's part of it. I know what you're going to get at here is the team stunk. Okay. Part of it's he's 36.
No, that's a big part of it. No, I agree. But I think it's because at age 36, he wasn't able to maintain that level of play for 75 games.
Okay.
Okay. So if you make his job easier.
How? Like who's
by getting
make
a better player.
Who?
Paul, I don't know, like one of these guys.
One guy is not going to make it significantly easier for Steph, I don't think.
Well, I think that's why Klay Thompson's not a priority, is because it's not just one person.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, apparently Pajemski and Moody can just slot right in and you're going to be fine. So,
no,
roll with that.
No, I think there's, why does it all have to be about next year? That's all I'm saying. That's the part I don't get.
I don't think it's just about next year. It's about what's remaining on Curry's career, his basketball life. Because
so, listen, I'll just
everything beyond that's dark, anyways.
Okay. Exactly. Like people just when dynasties come to an end, they just do, and it sucks. Because you have older players that are now making too much money, but you had to pay them to extend the dynasty, but they're not the players they were. And so I'm sorry, I will say it. That was a big mistake re-signing Draymond Green last year. Like, it's a big mistake re-signing Draymond Green last year. You got that guy for three more years. Okay, now what? Well, now Clay comes up. What are you going to do with Clay? Like, if Clay's back, you still have the three most integral parts of your team in a way, but how can they possibly ascend or are you anybody worried about injuries moving forward? Like, that's another thing that I think a reasonable GM would have to factor in. That if we're going to go to post with a couple with 37 and or 36 and 234 35, like, I don't know. 888-957-9570 is the number. Yeah, you can tell. You can tell it's getting close. It's absolutely getting close. Free agency. 888-957-9570. What's the right move then, Steiny? Sounds like you're voting for a complete rebuild. I'll tell you what it is on the other side. But like any team at the end of a dynasty, there are no good choices. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
I try not to like you.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Can I ask you, do you put this into the equation at all?
Huh?
So, we've been talking contracts. And Brandon Ayuk. Oh, well, you know, he should just take 25. You know, if they're offering 29, he should just take 25. He should do that. Let me tell you what the way I look at a guy. Let me just ask you this question. Why did Draymond Green opt out last year? Why?
So he could get a longer deal.
Thank you. Thank you. You don't think the Warriors said, hey, Dre, you see what's happening with our payroll. Is there any, just play out your last year. Play out your last year and we'll revisit it. Like, you know, I hear stuff like, well, Steph, you know, maybe Steph should take a little less and this, that, the other thing. The one thing that people forget, Draymond Green opted out last year. He had a player option. Good for him. He got it in his contract. But Dre could have, quote, done the Warriors a big solid by being a team player and not opting out. And now people will say, well, that's just completely unrealistic. He was never going to do that. I guess not. So why should Clay do anything that might jeopardize the amount of years he could get or the amount of money he could get? Like, does Draymond opting out leave any kind of taste in your mouth last year when he had it, when he could have come back for one more year?
No. Okay. I mean, well, like, what am I going to ask him to not do that? I mean,
yes. Yes, you are. You're going to ask him not to do that.
And then what happens when he says no?
Then you might have to make a decision. Well, like, I guess what I'm saying is over the years, like, we've asked some of the big three to do stuff. Like, I'm just saying.
Whoa. What have we ever asked the big three to do? Seriously.
Oh, are you kidding? On the text line, we always, hey, maybe Steph could take a little, like, nobody.
No.
My point is, nobody takes less.
What? Exactly.
So my point is, Draymond, it wasn't about money. Like, Draymond Green had an opt-out.
And he opted out because of money.
But why did he opt out? Like,
Because he could get more money.
Right, but he also opted out because he wasn't apparently dead set on wanting to be here for the rest of his career. Or he allowed for that possibility, and the Warriors threw him a lifeline. Like, I guess what I'm saying is...
You think he would have still opted out if he didn't think that he could get... or command one contract?
My point is that he opted out for money. So stop, not you, stop asking Clay to either take less money or be less stubborn. Like, Clay's, like, here's the way I look at it. Clay's contract ran out. He's a free agent. It just ran out.
Yeah.
Draymond Green said, you know what? I'm going to be a free agent before I even need to, even if I know it's going to put the Warriors in a trickier spot. I mean, it's not a big deal to somebody. Like, I get it. He had an opt-out. He used it.
But he used it. One of the reasons why he and Clay didn't align was because Draymond signed a four-year, $100 million deal before.
Right.
Klay Thompson signed a five-year max deal.
Right.
So they were never aligned. This was always going to happen.
This is about Draymond Green just opting out of his contract and nobody asking that question. And I remember at the time, you could just ask Draymond, if you can get Draymond to come back on his last year.
Sure, but if he played 44 games and was hurt, like, for example, if Draymond Green had the year this year, last year, where he played 55 games, but he got suspended three times or, you know, got ejected three times, got suspended for an extended period of time, do you think he still opts out or do you think he opts back in? To me, the player option is just about a second prove it. Like, it's a second prove it year. So you have the option to capitalize on your best year and you get two cracks at it. He played 73 games. I don't think that he did it just because it was a contract year, because he could have just opted back in and tried another time to play the most games he had in 5 years. Like, I'm not saying that the Warriors made the correct decision in offering him 4 years, because right now that's not looking like a great deal. But if you're going to hold it against Draymond, why wouldn't you hold the Andrew Wiggins contract against the Warriors? Why wouldn't you hold the Jordan Poole contract against the Warriors?
I do. I have all those listed. It's like the Warriors won the title. What did they do? They gave Wiggins money. They gave Poole money. They gave Draymond Green money. So next guy up is Clay, but the rules have changed. And he has every right to be upset with that, even though it was all outside of his control and mostly facilitated by the Warriors. Why he's in this position.
Yeah, and that sucks.
Yes, it does.
That's also why that's why they haven't talked.
Let's go to Tim. And Tim's in Mill Valley. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me. Mm-hmm. Two things real quick. First off, I don't hear very many people talking about how well the Warriors actually did the last third of the season. I felt like they were really building some momentum around the young guys. Everybody was gelling. And I saw momentum. And it was surprising they got just overplayed by Sacramento in the last game, to me anyway. I thought it was a kind of a shocker. But because they had been building momentum and everything seemed to be kind of falling in place. Unbelievable that Kerr let Clay just go on and on with that bombshell. But anyway, that was the first thing. I feel like there's some momentum there, and I don't even know why you need to change the roster a whole lot with how it was starting to gel. Second thing, I'm with Matt. Steph's old, man. He's a very specialized player. He can't do what he used to do 2-3 years ago, go on long 4-6 game runs of being Steph Curry. He's pulsing now. You know, it's the Steph show, but it ain't what it was.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. You were breaking up a little bit there. I'm not going to say he's old. He's older.
Well, okay, so if Steph had the worst shooting stretch of his career after the All-Star break, like, it was about 30 games, shot 38% from three. How'd they go 19-10? Like, they were actually better after the All-Star break than they were before. So riddle me that.
Their schedule was probably a joke because, like, all I know is they were 5-21 against the best teams in the West. So I don't know who they were beating. But, okay, they were 19-10. You know what? I'll play this game. Okay. So you think they were building momentum?
I think they were a better defensive team the last 30 games of the season than they were.
Okay.
The first 50.
All right. Then
could have been due to the new rules. It could have been due to them getting healthy. It could have been because, you know, Steph was more impactful off the ball. I mean, I don't know. It could be. My point is, if we're just going to focus on why Steph was so bad or lesser than the player that we know him to be, I just think it's interesting that that was also when they played their best basketball as a team.
I mean, I guess.
It could have been a scheduled game. Could have been.
But again, if that's your thought process, then there aren't big decisions to make. I mean, we had him on last week, Bob Fitzgerald. And I'm sorry, but if he said, if you don't think this is a 53-54 win team with Draymond Green playing a whole season, you know, okay, like...
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
Like, the point is, if we...
God love them.
If we all thought the Warriors were a 53-win team without Draymond Green, we wouldn't be talking about making changes. But I don't believe we really think that. Because if we really think that, then you know what? See if you can get Clay back here, let Chris Paul walk, and let's do it again. But I think everybody knows that doesn't work, or that's a long shot of working.
No, but part of the Clay decision to me, Steiny, could be the fact that Clay was kind of the same player at the beginning. Actually, well, no, he was worse at the beginning of the season. So, but he had, maybe they felt like less of an impact on their winning the last 30 games of the season than, say, or it was less of a reason than, like, you know, the emergence of Kuminga,
mm-hmm,
or Trayce Jackson-Davis joining the starting lineup, or, I don't know, maybe Andrew Wiggins, you know, showing a pulse after he came back from his hiatus. Maybe Moses Moody stepping up. Pajemski perhaps starting some of those games. Like, maybe they are thinking that Clay was at less of a reason to do with that, and because of the money that they'd have to pay him to keep him around, that he's just not worth it. You know, he's not worth the $20 to $25 million, as opposed to what you're talking about, or were a segment ago, which is guys have now a runway, if Clay's gone, to step in, to start, to get better, and that might keep you at the same level. Like, they might still, without Clay Thompson next year, they might still be a 46-win team. I think they're trying to figure out how they can get to be a 50-win team, and they might have enough evidence to believe that Klay Thompson doesn't help get them to 50 wins.
I feel like, at least with you, I will, I am not saying doing this is right, doing that's wrong. I'm not here advocating any particular thing. I'm truly not. I'm looking at the Warriors right now completely in an impersonal way, okay? Totally impersonal, and I'm looking at the last 12 years, and I'm looking at a dynasty, and I'm looking how old their core players are, and I'm looking at the history of the NBA, and I'm saying to myself, they're really attempting to do something that's never been done. Now, I'm not saying, well, they should just fold up the tents and ask to be relegated to the G League. I'm not saying that. But I just don't think the mindset right now should be like, we gotta do stuff pretty quickly here to turn this thing around. And it feels like that's what the fans are hoping for. That's what the fans want. But I think it's going to be really hard because I don't see any great moves out there. I don't think they have enough assets to turn those assets around into other players that fit better. Like, my goal for next year would be, can we be better than last year? And maybe we're just talking about it in a different way.
No, but I do think because of the direction the league is going, you have to... I mean, look, you're going to make the best choices you can this offseason, and I do think, yes, you have to allow for the possibility of, I don't know, injury or decline, but you also have to allow for the possibility that you might catch lightning in a bottle. That's what's happened the last 6 years in the NBA since the Warriors were the last team to go back-to-back. Teams have caught lightning in bottles, including the 2022 Golden State Warriors, which were a team that not many believed, if any, could win the championship before the year. I don't think the Warriors, with any move they make, one singular move they make, whether it's re-signing Clay, letting him walk, trading for a big boy, whatever, one single move is not going to vault and catapult the Warriors back into championship contention, in my opinion. The West is just too loaded. But I also didn't think that the Dallas Mavericks could make a finals run this year. I also didn't think that Minnesota could beat Denver this year. You know, there was a lot of things that I was wrong about, and the Warriors might be able to, I don't know, kind of thread a needle if they're able to acquire what I believe they want. Again, I think the reason why they have not had a contract discussion with Klay Thompson, we haven't heard anything about an extension for Kuminga. We still don't know if Looney's going to be fully guaranteed, though that's the expectation. We still don't know if they're going to keep Klay Thompson, Chris Paul on the books or not, is because they're trying to survey the land, read the market, and see, is there a superstar that we can bring to Golden State? That is the goal. Like, that is number one on their list of things to do this offseason. And everybody else, including a four-time champ, is just going to have to wait.
The only thing I would say to you using Dallas and Denver is just, like, the obvious of...
Yeah, they're younger.
Much younger.
They have players in their prime. I mean, but... yeah. What are you supposed to give up?
No, that's what I said. You can't give up. Obviously, you can't give up, but you could prepare a fan base for this is going to be really challenging. No team's ever tried it before, or no, you know, it's tough to succeed when you're at this spot. Austin's in San Francisco. What's up, Austin? How you doing?
Hey, nothing much. Just chilling, listening to you guys. Man, hey. I want to say this. Hey, I think they should just stay intact with Klay Thompson. They can bring him back. Bring him back. We already got everybody to fulfill the positions. But Draymond's green. We need another type Draymond Green with a little bit of jumper, man, to go with that. I feel like we need to replace, get rid of CP3, get rid of Looney, and get rid of Gary Payton. And find that either that big or find that, that person to help out Draymond Green. Steph don't need the help. We got help. That's with Moody. That's with Pods. That's with Kuminga, Wiggins. Kuminga's backing up Wiggins. Come on now. Draymond Green is the only person that don't have a backup.
All right, Austin. Appreciate it. I'm going to say this a lot this summer. I dare you.
To what?
To just bring Klay back and say, we're going to be better next year. Go ahead.
So it sounds like You would be operating the way the Warriors are, which is, if we get Klay back, nice. If not, it's not really
correct.
That big of an issue.
Correct.
Because that's also what I'm reading from them, is Klay Thompson is not, he's not going to move the needle one way or the other.
Let me ask you this. If let's say you're Joe Lacob.
Oh, boy.
And you...
Kirk. How about that?
Okay. And I say... There's one scenario in which you believe in your heart of hearts, this thing's over. The dynasty's over. The sooner we realize that, the better. Okay, that would be one off season. Okay. You know what? I think we got one more crack in it. I think Steph and Dre, one more crack at it. We owe it to those two different beliefs lead you down different avenues in your approach?
Probably, yeah. I mean, if you think that this thing is truly done and you don't think you're going to make the playoffs, like, to me, that's what a dynasty of being over really is. Like, you're not even in the postseason, and you're not going to be in the postseason for the foreseeable future. Well, then, yeah, you would try and kickstart this thing.
Just hypothetically, do you think the dynasty's over?
Depends on how you define it. I mean, I don't think...
Channeling his inner Steinmetz.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to him for 4 hours a day, so I should be pretty good at it. What?
Hey. Oh, let's go to... City Boy.
I think they can make the postseason next year, if that's what you're asking me.
What's up, guys?
They could, sure. City Boy, what's up, buddy?
Yo, how are you? How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on this Dubs conversation because, and really quick before I get to my point, I think the Warriors could lose Klay and have a better record next season, even without making a big splash of a move, personally. And I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying I love Klay Thompson. I think he's been a great Warrior. But also, I want to consider that the guy is so competitive and he believes in himself so much. And I think that he is difficult to be around as a teammate at this point in his career. Not like he's a bad guy. I think he's great with it. I think his teammates love him as a person, but I think playing with him is difficult because he's really seems to have struggled with his diminishing skills. And it's got to be hard. I feel for the guy. But the thing is, if he wants a 3-year deal, I think the Warriors already know there's no chance they can you know, keep him on the books for 3 more seasons and not only be in the way of young players improving, but taking up cap space and being kind of a drag mentally on the team, you know. And I think it's a lot like Harrison Barnes, other than the fact that Harrison was a lot younger. You know, they offered Harrison a contract extension at the start of the season. And when Harrison turned down that contract extension, I think by the end of the year, the front office was ecstatic. I mean, not just because they got KD, right? But I think that they knew at the end of that season that KD or no KD, they weren't offering him another deal. And I think that's how the Warriors feel. I think when Klay turned down that 2-year contract, I think at this point they're like, thank goodness he turned that down because we don't even want him for 2 more years, you know? And that's just my take. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, and I love Klay Thompson, and I'll always remember him fondly as a Warrior, but I just think he's out of here. And you know what? He might have fun playing in OKC or something, you know, and going deep in the playoffs and being an asset as a shooter because right now he's a one-dimensional player, and the Warriors need a guy who's more than just a shooter. So I think it's best for both teams for him to move on.
Appreciate
it. And I think, you know, you got to keep Kuminga. You got to keep Kuminga. I'll leave you with that.
Appreciate it, City Boy. That's true. That was a good it's a good analogy. Harrison Barnes turning down 4 for 64. They don't get Durant if he accepted that before the season.
No, but I mean, I also don't know if they considered KD to be a possibility.
No, that's true, that too. Season. But I do agree with him that the one piece of precedent we have is Barnes turned down $64 million, and then it was over. Maybe City Boy's onto something.
Well, I think the offer last summer seemed pretty low, considering he was coming off of, you know, a season in which he led the league in threes. So I think Klay also was always just going to bet on himself. I mean, I didn't have a problem with him turning it down. I also don't have a problem now with the Warriors saying that you're going to have to get in where you fit in. Because, and this is the other part of it too, it applies to more than just the Warriors. Like, I really do think teams are afraid of the ramifications of this second apron. Like, we've been kind of hearing that build for a year or two, and it's finally going to hit this new NBA season. Everybody's body language is saying they don't want to be in the second apron. Right. It's not just the Warriors. It's one of the reasons why I don't think the Clippers have re-signed Paul George, why Miami Heat haven't re-signed Jimmy Butler, why people are trying to figure out what to do with these aging, overpriced, past their prime stars. People are trying to figure out what they're going to do with these exorbitant albatross contracts or contracts that they would have to pay in the example of Klay Thompson, and they don't want any part of it. And that's why I think Klay is, you know, the Warriors are trying to go out. I think they're trying to trade for, you know, a star or whatever, get a second level score. And I don't know what it is, but they also are saying, okay, Klay, that will determine what we can offer you. They could give him $25 million right now. But they're afraid of being in the second apron of the luxury tax because then you can't aggregate salaries. You could lose a draft pick down the line. Like, there are real consequences.
And that's the big picture that, to me, is going to be so hard to overcome. We're still, the Warriors are still attempting this offseason to get better and save money. That in and of itself is a challenge that is, like, it's an anomaly that teams can do that. They've got to get under a certain threshold, but we expect them to get better. It's kind of not how it works in the NBA. Let's go to Brian. Brian's in Hayward. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I don't always call, but I just want to say, you know, things happen in life, and Clay is a human being. He's a great human being. Over the years, we've gotten to know him. And when things change and it becomes frustrating, I think the only thing that makes it worse in life is when the people closest to you and around you don't seem to have a consideration for that. And I think as fans, we're pretty ruthless, just in a general sense, when it comes to winning and expecting more winning. We saw it with the Giants a couple years ago. And I really think that this is my prediction, okay? Somebody write it down. I was right in 2022 when he came back from the injury and we won the chip. So I'm hoping I'm right again. Mm-hmm. But we're all just kicking back right now, waiting for the storm to settle, which is the NBA free agency. And after things kind of fall in place, I think the Warriors are going to surprise some people who don't necessarily see a positive outcome where we keep Clay and we get better. So my guess is Chris Paul might be on the way out, but we're going to keep Clay and we're going to take the chip this year again.
Put in the cap. Cap. Cap it. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I see Leroy, I see Seth, I see Eric. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we will get Brian Geltzeiler's opinion on all this. Sirius XM NBA Radio. He's also a contributor at NBA TV. If you've heard Brian on before, you know he is the man. And he's great to talk to, and he thinks very highly of the Bay Area and the Golden State Warriors. KTVU's Fox Local streaming app for your connected TV. That's right. Live stream mornings on 2, the 10 o'clock news, and all Fox 2 newscasts, plus watch Like It or Not, and more. Fox Local. Free and easy to use. No subscription required. Give me the meat.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.